Heavenly Father, bless us at this meeting, that we take everything in consideration and do the best we can. And Father, we bless all our troops and everybody that's protecting this fine country we live in. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mrs. Shirley Wright?
Here.
Mr. Joe Richardson?
Here.
Mr. Derek Batzel?
Here.
Mr. Jason Kreuter?
Here.
And Mr. Scott Bradshaw?
Here.
Mrs. Danielle Ruslayer?
Here.
And Mr. Don Sparkman?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, can we approve the minutes?
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Ruz to approve the minutes. I have a second by Mr. Batzel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Swearing officers, please.
Do you swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Please report for the record, Dwayne Thomas, Matt Lutfi, Charles Rich, Jason Kilcrease, David Thompson, and Greg McClendon.
Yes, sir. I'd like to start with people here.
Yes. Good evening, board members. My name is Charles Rich. I'm with the City of Ocala. I'm a duly appointed chief code official for the city. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement and certified in all four levels of training. I've been in charge of the division for more than 6 years now and have 30 years of law enforcement experience. I'll be presenting your cases this evening. I would point out for the board's benefit, we have a new member, Scott Bradshaw. We welcome you to the board, sir.
Thank you.
And acknowledge your presence here. We will have a better seating arrangement for you at the next meeting. But right now, you kind of need to see how it all flows anyways. He is a voting member, so your board is back up to 7 members.
Good.
At some point, we may also advertise for a couple alternates. So if you have to be out, we'll still be a fully comprised board. If it pleases the board, we do have representation here this evening, and I would like to take those cases in first.
Yes, sir.
Having said that, we would proceed to page 6 of the agenda this evening. This is in the petition section on your presentations. The case number is CO12-1324, a case brought by Officer Moraine Kennedy, the City of Ocala, versus Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corp. A location at 4409 Northeast 13th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. There is a petition on file. I'll give you a moment to review that petition.
Right here.
Yeah.
We've also included photographs of the property and a case cost sheet in your case file. Staff does propose a reduction in this case, and we'll present that to you upon review of your case petition. As you can observe, we had a fine imposed by the Municipal Code Enforcement Board for violation of section 34141 through 145. And there was a fine assessed of $50 per day for a total fine of $29,750 plus $147.70. Staff would propose a reduction to $5,000 of the board imposed fine as consistent with what we generally do in cases of this nature when we are confronted by this situation, plus costs. So the fine that we're proposing would be $5,147.70, a discount of about $24,000.
Can we hear from the respondent?
In this case, I think that this is a good alternative. If they have a contract for the property, this may help get it moved and make them
swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And if you could state your name and address for the record.
It's Christine Riley, and my business address is 74780 Southwest 60th Ave, Ocala, Florida, 34476.
Please, the board, can we just establish standing in this case?
It's the rain.
Yes, I'm the real estate agent handling this property. We currently have it under contract. The buyers are ready to close as soon as we get this thing satisfied. We would be 100% happy with the reduction to $5,000 plus the...
Is it still owned by the bank?
Excuse me?
Still owned by the bank?
It is actually owned by Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, which was not the original bank that held it when this lien was put in place. That was Wells Fargo. Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation has since taken it over just a few months ago. As soon as we took it over, the property was registered right away, and I believe it was already in compliance with the law and everything else.
What's the RE cost to you guys?
I think it's worth 147. Who would end up paying the fine, the new owners or Freddie before the property closes? Freddie has to pay it before the closing.
Yeah, not the owners, yeah. The lien has to be cleared before we can close on the property.
Well, the problem with them is they don't pay it until they come up here and ask for a reduction.
Yeah, but they weren't even the original ones to own it during all the fines.
And we agree to pay it within 7 days. Or it can default back to the original amount.
Discussion? What do you think, Ms. Wilson?
I'm fine with $5,000.
I make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion from Mr. Batsel and a second by Ms. Shirley. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now, ma'am, if you don't pay it within 7 days, it's going back to the original amount.
I understand.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
That will bring us to the next case where we have representation. And that is on, give me one moment here, page 5 of your agenda this evening. CM 14-1810, a case by Officer Greg McClellan, the City of Ocala versus Lee N. Calhoun. A location of 2519 Northeast 3rd Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3432, water collections, sections 3495, weed, condition, trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter, sections 82512, barrier required for the pool, sections 82513, specifications for the barrier of the pool, and sections 122-1193, parking trailers, commercial vehicles in the residential area for storage. Trailers. The parcel ID is 24921-000-00. Certified mail was returned, however, we did receive a confirmation for the notice of hearing on 11-20-2014. We posted the property on 11-24-2014 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Greg McClellan responded to this location due to a neighbor's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that the property has a water collection, junk and debris, and does not have the required barrier as necessitated in the code and by state law. The property additionally has trailers located on the side yard and the property is deterioration of the slum, deterioration, slum, and blight of the neighborhood. All attempts by Officer McClellan to have the respondent remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff would draw your attention to the photographs at the end of the presentation. If you guys, the board has some particular questions, staff is prepared to answer any questions.
Can we hear from Officer McClellan, please?
Yes, you can. And staff will present a recommendation.
Sir, have you contacted the owner of the house?
The owner, no, sir.
this rental?
Yes.
And this belongs, this property belongs to the tenant?
Does not belong to the tenant. The actual property, the house and everything, is the owner's.
Yeah, but the stuff that we're looking at right here.
Yes, that is the tenant's.
Okay. Any other questions for the officer?
Is the tenant cleaning it up?
They are working on it. Efforts have been made.
What is the little sinkhole thing? Is that a code violation?
I do not have a violation on that. I'm not authorized to say what that is and what it's not.
And what?
By being authorized, you're saying that you don't know what that is.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's what you would say.
And could you explain the barrier requirements in the specific case? I see there's some type of exposure.
Under Florida law, you have to have a barrier around any pool that prohibits entry, what have you. The very specific barrier requirements are in your presentation. Under officer notes, I can tell you that that is on page 49 of your presentation. If you'd like, I can read that into the record.
Please.
Every person in possession of land as an owner, purchaser, under contract, leasee, tenant, or licensee upon which is situated a swimming pool shall at all times maintain a barrier completely around the pool or the property as required by the division. Then it has the specifications in 513 of what is actually required. If you'd like, I can read that for you.
Go ahead.
All swimming pools not exempted by the terms of the division shall be provided with a barrier which shall comply with the following. A barrier shall be at least 48 inches in height and be constructed so that no clearance, gap, or opening, whether within the barrier, below the barrier, or between the barrier and any supporting member, shall have any opening permitting the passage of a sphere measuring 6 inches in diameter. All barriers shall be equipped with self-closing and self-latching or lockable gates. If the barrier is placed around the perimeter of the property or not closed 5 feet from the vertical wall of the pool, walls of a dwelling are permitted to serve in lieu of that position of the barrier, portion of the barrier, which would otherwise be located where the wall is constructed. Barriers not covered by the division may be approved by the building official. An appeal of the decision may be made to the city council section, and then it goes on to section 122.1193, the parking of the trailer and whatnot.
Does the pool cage not count as a barrier?
Pardon me?
Does the screen?
It does, but it's not completely enclosing.
Oh, okay.
The pool.
Gotcha.
Is it respondent here?
But if you look through the photographs here, you'll see that there are sections of the screen there that are out.
Yeah.
As long as those sections are out, this pool is not in compliance with either the city's code or state law, which has a similar barrier requirement.
Can we hear from the property owner to respond?
I think the tenant's here. I'm not sure. Are you the tenant or the owner?
Tenant.
Okay. Everybody.
Good.
Good.
Do you swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Napoleon Rhodes, 1362, 2519, I'm giving my last address. 2519, Northeast 3rd Avenue, Ocala.
So you're not living here anymore?
Yes, I am. Well, everything, I talked with Mr. Gregg, he came by and he looked at the property, and he came by on 18th or whatever, and that Sunday I didn't go to church. I stayed home all day, removed everything, hauled it off, cleaned it up, and came back by and looked at it. He said, this is what we're looking for, right here. I moved the trailer, got rid of it, got rid of everything around it, and cleaned it up. And the property next door is an abandoned home, and that's where all the weeds are growing up. The vines running up the fence, but on my side, I keeps it clean. The property over on the north side, they got the same problem.
Well, the property we're talking about is the property that you're living at, right?
Yes.
So we're not really worried about the property on the east side of you.
That's where the vines and stuff is running from.
Okay, the main concern right here is this swimming pool. Somebody can get hurt here.
Around the pool is a 9-foot wood fence all the way around the property, from the side on the south side all the way around the property. Inside of that is a chain link fence.
I say that.
With that. And then you got the screen around the pool where the backside on the side of the pool has got a drop in it, one drop, and that's it for the pool. And there's no kids nowhere around, and no kids at all. But other than that, the trailer gone, I cut the fence, made my way because the property owner took the shed. And when we got ready to move in 5 years ago, he tore the shed down.
Is the tires and glass and all that removed?
All that, everything is, he came by the other day, and I shook his hand, he said, well, he said, well, your court date done been moved from the 8th to the 11th.
Well, I still don't see the pool being secured.
Is the dead cat out of the pool?
Yes, yes. And everything on there, and he came and took another, he said, this is what we looking for.
Page 62.
He said, this is what we looking for. I said, well, thank you, sir. He said, your court date, because I was out there blowing my driveway off and stuff. And he said, this is what we looking for. And he shook hands, and I said, yes, sir. He said, you keep it like this here, and you have no problem.
Are you going to make some plans to where the screen is ripped there, and there's no screen on the pool buried?
Well, I haven't bid that back screen yet, and I'm going to do that on this Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a drop from the north side of the pool.
Is there a self-locking on that pool door?
No, it's not. Yes, it is. A screen, when you close it, it click.
Okay.
But not just a lock and
Chip,
keep nobody
out. You have something to say here.
May I inquire?
Yes.
So, everything's been taken care of here?
Correct.
Have you recalled for a re-inspection?
He came out the other day when he changed the date. To the 11th.
Have you called for a re-inspection since you cleaned it all up?
Yes, he came out the other day.
Have you called for a re-inspection when you
had it all? I didn't know I was supposed to do that.
Okay, that's what it says on that notice that you have there, to call us for a re-inspection.
What?
I think in this case, in this situation at this time, he's claiming that he's taking care of it all. We need to go out and do a re-inspection as is recommended in our recommendations to the staff, from staff to you all.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the problem, then there won't be any problem.
But if you come out tomorrow, that screen will be up because I leave my house.
Well, then call, sir, you need to call for a reinspection when that screen is in.
Okay.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendations. You can get that done in 14 days, right?
Yes,
right,
sir.
And then call for a reinspection.
Our recommendation is 14 days.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I was reading it. I'd make a motion to accept that.
I have a staff recommendation from Ms. Ruse.
A second.
Can I ask
second
a question? Can
by,
I ask a question?
Hold on a second.
Go ahead.
A question.
Yes, sir.
Does it matter if the yard fenced in? Does,
yes,
you don't screen enclosure
is
in material.
If he's fixed the yard fence, which we'll need to check.
And then inspector will go out there and check
the,
that.
The screen in.
Okay, but
is
screen enclosure is in material if your yard's fenced in. That's just to keep
is
the leaks out.
One board
out
on those stack fences.
So
and
why
the fences,
does
the
it look like it's actually...
Okay. Is the
one
fence
board off the fence that
right
dropped like this here,
that
and he said, well, it's a
but remember, sir, the code says you cannot, you have to have the fence in where you cannot pass a ball through that fence.
You cannot pass it because it's double fence. It is a chain
okay
link fence behind the wood fence.
Well, there looks, there's something in the corner here where there's a gap in it, and
it's chain link all the way around. All
I'm
around
not.
The house.
I'm not
and
saying
it's
that.
We'll just.
We're going to do it. We'll do a reinspection
okay
on it. You have 14. You have 14 days to comply with this order.
Okay.
After the 14th day, then you'll be. You start getting your fines.
On that board and the fence and the pool, right?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, and if you want
on all
help
of it, on all of it.
They'll help you. They'll give you guide. Well, they won't physically help you, but they'll give you guidance.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, I have a motion from Ms. Roos, and I have a second by Jason. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, sir. You have a good evening.
bring us to the bottom of page 3. See you on 14, 1037. See you on 14, 1073. This is the case of the City of Ocala and Officer Greg McClellan versus Kelly Pacoya Hart, a location of 1127 Northeast 8th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 34121, definition of abandoned derelict vehicle, and Section 34122, abandoned derelict vehicle department abatements. The parcel ID is 2614-016-012, certified mail, was returned and reposted the property on 10/28/2013 with a notice of violation and notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Ralph Schoenberger located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it had an abandoned derelict vehicle. Officer Greg McClellan took the case over, and additional inspection by Officer McClellan revealed that the response had not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer McClellan to have a response under the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff will call your attention to photographs beginning on page 44. Staff is prepared to answer any questions that you may have. Staff has a recommendation.
You want to read the recommendation? Then?
I will read the recommendation. The staff recommendation is to find respondent guilty of violating City Code Sections 134.122 in order to remove all abandoned, untagged, inoperable vehicles or get them properly registered and operational, and 2, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed all within 14 days. Failing which, a fine of $25 per day, and the city to enter upon the property to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Do we have a respondent here?
We do.
Do you please come, sir?
Do you swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes,
and if you can state your name and address for the record.
My name is Thomas Wayne. My address is 1127 Northeast 8th Street, Ocala, Florida, 34470.
Okay, again, I'd like to establish standing in this case, please. How are you related to this property, sir? Can you just explain that for the record?
Yes, I am a tenant of the property. I do not own the property.
Does this truck belong to you, sir?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Do you have a title and a tag for it, sir?
Yes, sir. I have the title. I've owned it to the vehicle for 16 years.
Yes, sir.
The vehicle is not abandoned.
Does it have a current tag on it, sir?
No, it does not. I have a plate for it. I had restored the engine of it.
Yes, sir.
Which the vehicle was operational. I explained that to Mr. McCauley. And he wanted me to come back. He wanted to come back out. In order to see the vehicle move, crank up, and so forth. And I work from 6 in the morning to 6 at night. So yeah, when I'm off, the only time that I'm off is on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. McCauley,
Mr.
McCauley and I had a couple of conversations at work on my lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
He explained to me then that my vehicle was being up under the resolve of not being operational. I told him that I was just more or less restoring the body, which that's what I was planning on doing anyway, but I had no problem with letting him hear it run or lose. But since this court has came, he informed me that this court was going to be convened. I did take it upon myself in order to have the vehicle completely moved off the property.
Okay.
I have brought photos here for the council to see that the vehicle is no longer there.
If we take those photos, then I have to take them from him. I think that what we need to do is, again, in this case.
Then we need a reinspection. Will you?
Of the photos, I was instructed by Mr. McCauley to be prepared to leave the photos here.
Sir, the solution here, since you've removed the vehicle from the property, is called for reinspection. Okay? The officer will come out and see the vehicle's been removed, and this will all be taken care of.
Sounds good.
Okay?
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Okay. Okay, I have a motion from Ms. Laird, and I have a second by Ms. Shirley. All in favor?
Aye.
Sir, you have a good day. Thank you for your cooperation.
I'll bring this to page two of your agenda this evening. C-14-0410. The City of Ocala, Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Francis Marion Military Academy, 1900 block of Northeast 19th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. Section 118-131, site restoration plan. And section 122-212, site plan approved as required. The parcel ID is 26500-002-00. Legal services obtained on 5, 6, and 9 of 2014 for the notice of violation, and 10-21-2014 for the revised notice of violation and notice of hearing. We posted the property on 10-20-2014 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence included with this presentation, we have included a copy of the Sundance report, and we would require an approved site plan and permits for this parcel to be issued by the building official. The summary of findings, I would draw your attention to the end of the presentation to the photographs in the case file. And this goes back some time. But the original case here was that the trees on the property were removed without a permit, and a site restoration plan was required, but that necessitated a buffer to be put along the border of the property to protect the adjacent housing. That was not completed. Then some additional grading was done on property, which is also a violation of the code, because they were going to, I guess they leased the property out. From the information I received, the property was leased out to an individual who was going to plant crops there. That's property's not zoned for an agricultural use, so that plan was abandoned. And then we were at the point where we were receiving complaints from the neighbors due to the overgrowth. When the trees were there, you didn't have
that. Was the last overgrowth. That last one we had was the overgrowth from the neighbors.
Yes, sir. And so the summary of findings are that due to citizens' complaint and a complaint received from the zoning department concerning overgrowth and site grading without a site plan or permit at this location, we dispatched Officer Dwayne Thomas. Upon arrival, he found that the property was being farmed, but seeds had not been planted as yet. In other words, it was being tilled up. Contact was made with the on-site worker, a man by the name of Mr. Parker, who was advised to stop all work due to zoning not supporting agriculture use at that location. Our officer received additional complaints concerning the overgrowth and no restoration of the site from the original tree removal cases that we believe were in 2011. Upon reinspection, only a portion of the property had been mowed, and our office has not received the site plan for the tree restoration. However, I believe we have that now, but it has not been approved yet. It was submitted on November, or it was drawn on November 5th. I'm not sure of when it was submitted. Upon reinspection, as I previously stated, only a portion of the property had been mowed, and our office has not received the site plan. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have a response and remedy all the violations have not been successful in violation of the name. Officer Thomas is prepared to answer any questions you have, and I have a staff recommendation.
Well, wasn't this the last time they were here, we agreed on them just doing a portion of the mowing around the perimeter of it?
No.
As the buffer for the residents?
Unfortunately, we can't do that because the property is encompassed by on all sides within 300 feet, as it was explained to me.
So it meets at 300 feet all the way around, so the whole parcel has to be mowed?
Has to be mowed.
Okay.
If it was maintained, it's
not that bad. It could be bush hog at this point because it's been cleared, and it was not tilled for grass.
And you say they did submit a plan?
We have received a plan, but that has not, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's not formalized, but it has not been approved yet.
And how come this?
That's still working through the process.
Do you, what's?
Our recommendation would include additional time to get that done, of course.
Right.
But we need to get this off of center because it's continually coming before you and before the magistrate and before council. And we need to have the property maintained in accordance with the code where we don't have to be continually expending code officers' time trying to chase this all out.
And how come it wasn't brought up as a repeat of violator?
Well, because they had brought it into compliance the one time for the overgrowth. They had not brought it into compliance the other, and we had not brought it back to you for the other. We aren't bringing it back to you until now.
Okay.
When was the, what was the other case number?
We'll have to look that up for you.
Okay. I guess we can hear from the respondent.
Is there a respondent here?
Yes.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And if you could just state your name and address for the record.
Chairman and the board, my name is Charles Hernandez, P.O. Box 4230, Ocala, Florida. I'm chairman of Francis Marion Military Academy. In answer to your question, Mr. Chairman, we were told that we could cut the portion that you see and that would be sufficient. They said that at the time, and when we received the notice, we had to beg, borrow, and steal somebody to go out and cut us again because we knew it was going, but the school doesn't have any money to do anything. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The engineer who did that site plan and gave us to a landscape company, they told me $30,000 for that year. I mean, we're lucky if we can get, we got. So at this point, after they said we couldn't, that Mr. Parker couldn't grow anything, my problem is I have a man that wants to take care of it and raise a hay. But is that agriculture? I don't know. If you allow me to do that, he'll take care of the whole property and I don't have to worry about it. And maybe we can make a few dollars out of it. But other than that, we don't have equipment or anything else to maintain this thing.
Well, I don't. Is bahia growing or bahia grass there a problem?
That's not a question that I can answer for him. Any agricultural use would not be allowed. This is not a permitted site. Now, whether or not bahia grass would constitute agricultural use is not an answer that I can give him at this
point.
He needs to work with the planning department on what he wants to do, not this board. This board would not be able to grant him something that would not be allowed in the code, so we're not prepared to answer that at this time. The previous case numbers were COM08-0618, COM12-0080, and COM13-0195.
I can't write that fast.
COM08-0618. COM12-0080. And COM13-0195. The main problem for the city that we have here is because the property was cut of all of its timber or what have you, the trees were all cleared off the property for a use that they intended to do, that's now causing the overgrowth to reoccur. So had they followed procedures and policies and ordinance from the beginning, we probably would not be standing here at this time. Now the property is going to have to be maintained, and the position of the city is it, either they will maintain it or we'll maintain it. We're getting continual complaints from the neighbors about the property now. We weren't having that problem prior to it being cleared. We are now getting problems with the dust and erosion control all blowing onto the other property. So that's why the plan calls for that.
Silk fence?
Well, it's calling for a buffer from the homes that are immediately adjacent to it.
Is that a landscaping buffer or a? It seems to me it's pretty cut and dry that if you own property within the city, whether it's a school, a company, or an individual, you're required to maintain it.
Correct.
And if there's grass growing, just like any of these houses that we look at, if there's grass growing and it's unsightly and causing problems, then it has to be maintained.
I agree with you, that's all, but the problem here is weeds grow.
Someone will have to mow the weeds.
Well, why did you cut the trees then?
We have permission to cut the trees.
Well, you might have had permission, but why would you cut it if you can't maintain it?
At the time we were cutting it, we were talking to bankers about financing for school. We're trying to build a school. But then other circumstances came about, if you read the papers, and we lost a lot of children in the high school. So we're down to 100 kids from 170 to 180, and you know, we're a public school. We depend on the state to give us money for school. And when you're down to that low the number of children, it's difficult, very difficult.
Why hasn't selling the location crossed your mind if you can't maintain it?
We put it on the market. We tried everything. We tried everything. I mean, at this point, the only option I have is to give it back to the owner, meaning the original owner.
Will he maintain it?
I doubt it. So we're back to square one.
You mean will or we will?
I'm not trying to pass the buck, but I would like to have this gentleman take care of the property for us. But if he can't raise bahia, what am I supposed to do? You know, I'm raising leaves. That's worse than raising bahia.
It's not up to us, though. I mean, you've been in front of the board quite a few times, and it's been pretty much the same thing over and over and over again.
Last time we had somebody that was willing to do it, the board, I mean, this code enforcement is the one who told them they couldn't do it. So if he told them, if code enforcement told the gentleman he couldn't grow whatever he was going to grow, I don't know what it was, peanuts or whatever, then this code enforcement board should be able to tell me whether I can grow bahia.
That's not really in our jurisdiction. What we're supposed to do is give a determination whether you have to maintain it or what's going to be.
Right. I think you need to go back and find out what agriculture means, you know.
You have to work with the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Right. And if they say planning says that you can grow bahia grass there, then you can. If you can't, well, you can't. You know, we can't give you that advice.
I'd be glad to do that. I am not given that indication.
Mm-hmm. I have to correct the record. The previous case numbers were CLM 050950. We have a transposition of the parcel ID. CUM 12-1982. CUM 12-2021. CUM 13-0920. And CUM 14-02-95. And then, of course, this case, CUM 14-0410.
Did we already hear the staff recommendation, or do we need to hear that?
I did read it, but I'm willing to read it again into the record.
I mean, I can read it here for myself. Okay. It gives them 30 days to cut it and submit a restoration plan.
Yes, sir.
Make a motion to accept the staff recommendation.
I'd second it.
I have a motion from Mr. Batzel to accept staff recommendations. I have a second by Ms. Roos. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's what it is, sir. You're welcome.
Now, going to page 6 of your agenda this evening, in the petitions section on your presentations. The petition is CUM 12-1369. And if you'll notice, the petition shows that case number and a ZLR case number. You're not presented with any paperwork for the ZLR case number. A ZLR is what we use for a lien search clearance. So that's probably what prompted them to understand that this property had a lien on it. We have included a copy of the petition there for you.
We've also included a copy of the case photos and a copy of the city's case call sheet.
Exit out of that one.
As well as a past due utility bill.
Go to 12-11.
I got you. Which one was it?
There is a fine imposed here on two charges, two violations. One for 3432, which is the pool water collection, and 3495, which is the weeds accumulation of trash and other unsightly and sanitary matter. They were at $25 apiece for 628 days, resulting in two fines of $15,700 and a total fine, plus prosecution costs of $142.63 for a total fine of $31,542.63. Staff proposes a reduction consistent with what we've done in other cases of this matter, where banks have taken over the properties and just weren't able to bring them into compliance or for whatever reason. I believe we have a representative here this evening, real estate or lawyer?
Lawyer.
Lawyer. We have a lawyer representative here this evening to support this petition. Staff would propose a reduction to $5,000 plus the prosecution costs of $142.63 and to pay all unpaid utilities, which at this point, I believe, is about 20-some dollars. Not a lot. They can certainly take care of that from our position. If you can observe through the pictures, you'll see, and we're not going to retry the case here, but you know, we had a significant issue at this property. We believe that due to circumstances, the fact that we have representation here, and hopefully an assurance that it will be resolved and properly maintained, and properly maintained would be some treatment of the pool and continued treatment. It may be under contract. I don't know. I'll let them answer that question for you.
Can we hear from the respondent?
I would point out for the record that this is a lawyer representing the property.
Thank you. Anissa Bolton on behalf of Choice Legal Group and also Federal National Mortgage Association. This was actually, as you can probably tell, a foreclosure property. The lien that was filed on this particular property was filed back on 11-2 of 2012. We filed our foreclosure action on 1-25-13, which is obviously a little bit beyond the date that the lien was filed. Our law firm, when we filed that foreclosure, missed that lien. And so as the foreclosure was progressing, we were not aware that there was a situation. We ended up getting a final judgment of foreclosure entered on 5-5-2014, and a certificate of title was issued in favor of my client, Federal National Mortgage Association, on June 25th of 2014. That same month, Fannie Mae was able to bring the property into compliance. I believe that was June 2014. As soon as they were in possession of the property, they were able to repair and correct all of the issues. We are respectfully requesting that the lien be reduced to hard cost, that being because our client was not aware of the situation. It was not something that they intentionally ignored. All of the notices were apparently sent to the property owner. We did not receive any of those notices. An additional issue is that a firm is responsible for these costs. They would be able to have this paid within 15 days if we could obtain that reduction.
Well, I think the issue here is this pool.
And additionally, we do have a contract on the property. The contract has been in place. We've been trying to close. That is how we were apparently informed of the continuing liens on the property. This contract is ready to close. I mean, if these people are really anxious, the property will be maintained. It's already been brought into compliance. I didn't know if the water's still green. I didn't happen to be out there this week to have it treated. But this is ready to close.
And you say ready to close within a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yeah, because actually the extension was through the end of November, and this has been something we're holding up. My firm is holding up the Federal National Mortgage Association from closing on this property.
Okay. Discussion?
I don't think you can whisper. I think you're supposed to say it on the record. Okay.
You said you want it reduced to the hard cost. What is the hard cost I'm looking at here?
That I'm not.
It's 140 263 plus, it looks like the utilities. I can't imagine that somebody, like the bank was in a lawsuit and had no idea that this house was out there. That just seems a little.
Did you find out about the lien before the foreclosure judgment was entered? And if so, why didn't you go back and amend?
And quite honestly, that is an option my firm has discussed, which is to go in and re-foreclose. But we'd rather not, you know, delay the property getting into hands of somebody who can take care of it. To re-foreclose would cost our firm as much money as coming back here and trying to work it out with you. I don't think we knew, my best guess is that I don't think we knew about this until beyond the final judgment. When our client began marketing the property, there was that utility lien search with that CLOR number. I believe that's how we found out, quite honestly. And I just think it was a title search error, quite honestly.
So if we reduced it to the staff recommendation of $5,000, does your firm pay that or does Fannie pay that?
My firm. Yes, it's an error. We cannot pass this on to the client.
I make a recommendation a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Batzel to accept staff recommendation. I have a second by Jason. All in favor?
Aye.
Nay.
What was the vote on that one?
Everybody voted yes except for me.
So it's $5,142.63
plus utilities.
Plus the
$2,430 in utilities.
Right.
That'll bring us to page 5 of the agenda this evening. C-114-17-10. This is a case of the City of Ocala and Officer Greg McClellan versus Leonard Shields Estate and Nation Star Mortgage LLC, doing business as Champion Mortgage. A location of 2419 Northeast 2nd Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, odor, and slight and sanitary matter. Section 82442, implementation and enforcement. I'm sorry. You gotta give me 1 second, I have to restart this. This is a location of 2419 Northeast 2nd Avenue, Calumet County, Florida. A violation of Section 3432, water collections. Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, dumped on site, and sanitary matter. Section 34141 through 145, property registration and maintenance requirements for properties in default. Section 82181, definition of a dangerous structure. Section 82182, dangerous building declared nuisance, abatement required. Section 82512, barrier required for pools. And Section 82513, specifications for said barrier. The parcel ID is 24950-000-00. Legal service was obtained on 11-3 and 4 of 2014 for the notice of hearing. And we posted the property on 11-4 of 2014. I would point out to the board, we will be proceeding in this case as a repeat. No, I apologize, not as a repeat violator. Although I don't know. Well, as part of the additional correspondence in this case, we provided you with a copy of the Les Pendants and email to the lender and the property preservation company. We have included photographs, the current condition of the property. The summary of findings are that Officer Greg McClellan responded to this location due to neighbor's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code as stated. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure and Officer McClellan added the bank to the case. Further investigations revealed the structure is dangerous due to its unsecured condition and the possibility of transit neighborhood children activity and without a barrier around the pool in accordance with the city's code and state law. This property is contributing to deterioration, slowing the blight of the neighborhood, and all attempts by Officer McClellan to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has a recommendation that I'll read into the record if you'd like.
Please do.
That would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Sections 3432, 3495, 34141 through 145, 82181, and 82182.
82, as well as 82512 and 82513. Order them to drain or treat all standing water collections upon the property and cover the pools, cut and clean up the property, properly removing any junk and debris, register and maintain the property in accordance with the property registration and maintenance ordinance. 4, secure the residence building as required to prevent unauthorized entry. 5, respond to repair all of the required pool barriers to prevent any entry into the pool area as required by the code. And 6, pay the cost of prosecution as assessed, all within 14 days. Failing which, a fine of $50 per day in the city to enter upon the property to do the work, utilizing any means required, with all costs of fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, before the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Staff is prepared to answer any questions you may have at this time.
Chip, could I ask you a question?
Yes.
The fine of $50 a day is for all the violations.
Yes, sir.
All right. You don't separate.
We did not in this case.
You could if you wanted to, though.
Yes.
You could fine them for
$50 per day per violation is a case, is something that we do recommend for time to time.
Since we are discussing proceeding against the banks for unpaid fines for failure to register, does it make sense to break those fines out and assess them against the bank separate and apart from
completely up to you if you
the other
for me fine. To offer that as an amendment to this recommendation.
Do you understand
what
we're talking about? Yeah.
So we would have a separate fine of $50 a day
per
fine levied against
the bank for
the
registration.
Yes.
Which given a certain period of time to comply with the same period of time to comply with the registration requirement, failing which the bank is assessed a fine of.
And just to be clear, that would only be the bank, correct? Not the not the names?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's the way it's going to work generally anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Then even after the property is in compliance and that portion of the fine abates, the other portion would continue to accrue, and at some point we may see collection of that from the bank.
And
we do have representation here for this.
Good.
And would that 50, would that count as a lien against the property, even though you only assess
that
50 the bank?
Still could be a lien against the property, that's true, but if...
What we're trying to arrange is we have many thousands of dollars outstanding and unpaid liens due to banks not registering, and so we're making an effort to separate that out for the city attorney's office, who is in the future perhaps going to be proceeding against the banks individually.
Okay.
Can we hear from the respondents?
Yes.
Nelson.
I think that's consistent with staff recommendation.
Yeah, they have 14 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You think that the 14 days is enough time for them to get that done?
Today is the 11th. We have trial the 16th. Well, I know that the work is going to be initiated. There's quite a laundry list of things that have to be done, which have been approved by a patient star through HUD. For example, securing the pool, boarding up a window on the shed, cutting the grass, and above and beyond what was provided for in the code.
Now, I think the most important thing here is the swimming pool.
Staff does recognize the fact that we have a health safety,
looks like
life
a pool.
Safety issue on this property that we would like to have addressed immediately.
I think that 14 days is enough. I do, but it is the holiday time, and it's going to have to be people living in Ocala who we have to hire to go out and do this work. So I don't know how fast people move in Ocala around holiday time. I know every other place
bet you that you can entice people to move pretty fast.
Yeah, this is of great importance that pool comes in compliance right away.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendations as is.
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Roos to accept staff recommendation, a second from Mr. Basil. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, ma'am.
So 14 days is...
That's what it is.
This will be bringing you to page 2 of the agenda. This is a case involving the city of Ocala and Officer Jason Gilfries versus Brenda M. Stowe, Austin Matthews, Oscar P. Matthews, Brenda M. Stowe, and Austin Matthews. Again, two different locations. The location is 1324 Northeast 13th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. Violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. Section 82-442, implementation and enforcement of the numbering system. And Section 82-443, display of building numbers. The parcel ID is 2551-002-004. I'll report to this board that all certified mail has been returned. And we post the property on 10/30/2014 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Jason Gilfries responded to this location to the citizen's complaint upon arrival. Observed the property is in violation of city code in that it is overgrown and contains Duncan debris and does not display the required building numbers. Additional investigation by Officer Gilfries revealed that the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer Gilfries to have the respondents remain in violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff will draw your attention to the photographs at the end of the presentation for you this evening. Officer Gilfries is prepared to answer any questions that you may have, and staff recommendation would be to respond to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, 82-442, 82-443, and order them to cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, ensure the house postal address numbers have been applied and the residents important in accordance with the code, and pay the cost of prosecution of the case all within 14 days. Failing which, a fine of $25 per day, and the city to enter upon the property, do the work utilizing anything required, with all costs and fines assessed after as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. I would point out for the record that we do not have representation by the respondents here this evening.
There's nobody living there?
I have to ask Officer Gilfries to see if he observed anyone on the property.
You're just not hitting anybody? No live ones? Okay. I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendations. However, I'd move it to 7 days because if they're not going to do it, they're just not going to do it, and we're not getting anywhere with anybody.
Yeah. I have a motion by Ms. Roos to accept staff recommendation, change the 14 days to 7. Do I hear a second?
Shirley
seconded it. Ms. Shirley seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
That'll bring us to page 3 of your agenda this evening, CON 14-1667. We would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. The City of Ocala and Officer Jason Gilfries versus Larry and Brenda K. Sherrod. Pardon me if I'm mispronouncing that. A location at 124 Northwest 17th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. Section 82-181, the definition of a dangerous structure requiring abatement. And Section 82-182, dangerous building declared a nuisance, abatement required. Section 82-442, implementation and enforcement of the numbering system. And Section 82-443, display of building numbers. The parcel ID is 25835-000-00. Legal service was obtained on 10/23/2014 for the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in this case, we provided you a copy of the previous findings of fact and an affidavit of partial compliance where the property was brought into compliance previously by the city upon order of the code enforcement special magistrate. The summary of findings that Officer Jason Kelfrazer responded to this location due to citizen's complaint, and upon arrival, observed the property is in violation of Sims Code of State. Further investigation revealed that in 2013, this respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Special Magistrate and found guilty for violation of Code Sections 3495, 82181, and 82182, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Additional investigation reveals the structure is dangerous due to its unsecure condition and the possibility of transient and neighborhood children activity upon the property. This property is contributing to the deterioration, slum, and blight of the neighborhood, and all attempts by Officer Kilcrease to have the respondent remedy the violations have not been successful, and the violations remain. Staff will bring your attention to the photographs accompanying your presentation this evening. Staff has a recommendation to find the respondent guilty of violating Civil Code Sections 3495, 82181, and 82182 as a repeat violator per Chapter 16204 of Florida Statutes and the City of Ocala Code Sections 82442 and 443. Order them to 1. Cut and clean up their property, properly removing all junk and debris. 2. Secure the residence building as required to prevent unauthorized entry. 3. Ensure the house postal address numbers are applied to the residence in accordance with the code. And 4. Pay the cost of prosecution the case as assessed all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day to a maximum of $5,000 in the city to enter upon the property and do the work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed at the lead. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
They would have to get
staff is prepared to answer any questions you may
structural
have.
Structural evaluation by the housing department. And that would
and
be in here.
Record,
I think at some point
we
have one on this house. It's a
here.
Frequent flyer.
Well, since it's a repeat vendor, we're going to reduce it to 7 days. They're not going to take care of it anyway.
The cost is probably going to be pretty extensive, huh? To
are they going to push?
Cut and clean up, we get done for about 13 to 17 cents per square.
But they don't, but you have to, are you going to knock the house down and clean it up?
Well, we're not going to knock the house down yet.
Okay.
Coming to a code board soon to you. But the first try, we try to secure it up.
Okay.
That's our
what I'm trying to say is that if we're giving them 14 days, let's just shorten it down to 7 days. They're not going to do anything anyway.
Yeah.
They have it, they're repeaters.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation shortened down to 7 days.
I have a motion by Ms. Roos to accept staff recommendation shorten the time from 14 to 7 days. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Ms. Shirley. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That will bring us to the next case on that page, CUM 14-1597, the City of Ocala and Officer David Thompson versus Judith and Amon Robert McDaniels. McManuels, I apologize. Having a hard time enunciating this evening. This is a location at 2304 Northeast 18th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of sections 34121, the definition of an abandoned derelict vehicle, and section 34122, abandoned derelict vehicles requiring removal. The parcel ID is 2458-001-006. A legal service was obtained on 10/21/2014 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer David Thompson located this property and served the properties in violation of the city's code that has an abandoned derelict vehicle. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed that the respondents have not taken action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer Thompson, to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful. The violation remains. Staff has a recommendation to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Sections 34122, order them to remove all abandoned untagged inoperable or vehicles or get them properly registered and operational, and 2. Pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day, and the city to enter upon the property to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Mm-hmm. Staff has copies of the pictures attached here.
Is it the black car in question?
Could you answer which vehicle you're citing here, or is it both of them? Because they're neither one of them.
And have you talked to the owners of the vehicle?
I have had no contact with the owners.
They did did sign for the paperwork.
They did sign for the paperwork.
Maybe 10-1 was the first.
Make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
I have a motion by Mr. Batsel, accept staff recommendation. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Jason. All in favor?
Aye.
I would also point out for the record that we now have this page by this one. That'll take us to page 4 of your agenda this evening. CON 14-1349. This is a case of City of Ocala and Officer Greg McClellan versus Percival Simpson and James F. Simpson. A location of 1316 Northeast 23rd Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. The violations are a violation of Code Section 3195, weeds, diminution of trash and other unsightly and sanitary matter, Section 82181, definition of dangerous structure, and Section 82 dangerous, Section 82182, dangerous building declared nuisance abatement required. Parcel ID is 2507-003-008. Legal service was obtained on 9-8-2014 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing, and 11-21-2014 for the revised notice of violation. We posted the property on 11-20-2014 with the notice of the revised notice of hearing. The structural inspection was conducted here and scored 50 points, dilapidated by building inspector David Thompson. And we have additional correspondence of an officer email. And for licenses required, we would require a permit to repair or demolish the structure. Staff will draw your attention to photographs at the end of the presentation.
Good.
The summary of findings that Officer Ralph Schollenberger located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code that it contains junk and debris and is a dangerous structure. The structure is dangerous due to its dilapidated condition. Additionally, Officer Schollenberger requested a structural evaluation inspector. Building inspector David Thompson responded, completing an inspection, which resulted in a score of 50 points and dilapidated, requiring major restoration to bring the property up to current Florida building code regulations. Officer Greg McClellan took over the case, and further investigation by Officer McClellan revealed that the respondents had not taken corrective action on the violations, and all attempts by Officer McClellan to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. We point out for the record that we do not have representation by the respondent here this evening. This respondent does not live in Ocala, and that the violations have not been taken care of. Staff recommendation is to find the respondent guilty of violating Code Section 3495, 82181, and 82182. Order them to 1, cut and clean up their property, properly removing all junk and debris. 2, the respondent to obtain a building permit within 30 days to bring the residents up to all current floor building code regulations within 180 days. Or obtain a permit to demolish the structure within 30 days with all demolition and cleanup of the debris to be completed within 60 days. And 3, pay the cost of prosecution in the case as assessed all within 30 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day, and the city to enter upon the property to do the work utilizing any means required with all cost and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Staff is prepared to answer any questions that you may have here. And we point out, as I said previously, that we do not have representation by the respondents here this evening.
Has there been any contact with the property owner?
I'll have to call Officer McClellan up for that.
Yes, the property owner has contacted me. We have discussed this issue.
It looks like they cleaned it up and then let it grow back again already.
Many times.
Okay.
What's his intentions? What's the intentions by the owner?
The intentions is he has contractors come out and he has agreed that the building just needs to come down.
And does he plan on taking it down?
Is he going to do it, or does he want the city to do it, or what's
he? His plan is to have a permit pulled to tear it down.
Okay.
I think that's consistent with staff recommendation.
Okay.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
I have a motion by Ms. Roos to accept staff recommendation. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Joseph. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That'll bring us to the middle of that page, CON 14-1680, the City of Ocala. And Officer Greg McClellan versus Lee Allen Minchu. A location of 2434 Northeast 3rd Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. For violations of Section 34121, the definition of a dangerous or a derelict vehicle, and Section 34122, and a derelict vehicle, as well as section 122.1193, parking of trailers, commercial vehicles in a residential area, or using trailers for storage and same. The parcel ID is 291-89-000-00. All certified mail has been returned. We would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. Therefore, we posted the property with the notice of violation on 10/22/2014. We do have a copy of the additional correspondence of the findings of fact and affidavit of partial compliance where the city brought the property into compliance previously. And a summary of findings that Officer Greg McClellan responded to this property due to a citizen's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and it has multiple abandoned derelict vehicles and a boat in the front yard. Additional investigation revealed that in 2011, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violation of code sections 34.122 and sections 122.1193, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Further investigation by Officer McClellan revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation and all attempts by Officer McClellan to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. Staff brings your attention to the photographs at the end of your presentation. We're prepared to answer any questions you may have. Staff has a recommendation to find the respondent guilty of violating code sections 34.121 and 122. And sections 122.1193 is a repeat violator for chapter 162.04 of Florida statutes. Order them to 1. Remove all abandoned, untagged, inoperable vehicles or get them properly registered and operational. Remove all unauthorized trailers, boats, trailers, whatnot, and pay the cost of prosecution of the cases assessed all within 14 days. Gentlemen, which a fine of $500 per day to a maximum of $5,000. And the city to enter upon the property to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure and staff is prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Seems like the stuff moves around a lot.
Yeah, I think we should shorten the days down here as well.
Well, it looks like there was a lot of boats and now it's just the one.
It's one thing if you have like a trailer that the guy's working with, but it's a bunch of cars and boats.
Yeah, he's just using it as a storage yard. It looks like for me, in and out.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendations and shorten it down to 7 days.
I have a motion by Ms. Roosh to accept staff recommendations and shorten it from 14 days to 7 days. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Mr. Batzel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. That'll bring us to the next case on that page, CUM 14-1689, the case of the City of Ocala, Officer Greg McClellan versus Saret Akloche.
Good enough.
A location.
Can you repeat that, sir?
I can repeat where it's located.
No.
A location of the 2500 block of Northeast 2nd Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weed accumulation of trash and other unsightly and cemetery matter. The parcel ID is 24903-000-00. All certified mail has been returned. We are proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. Therefore, we issued a notice of hearing, and that was posted upon the property on 10/23/2014. For additional correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the previous findings of fact in the affidavit of partial compliance with the city bought the property. Summary of findings of Officer Greg McClellan located this property and turned the property in violation of the city's code and it is overthrown. Additional investigation revealed that in 2010, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violation of code sections 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Further investigation by Officer McClellan revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation and all attempts by Officer McClellan to have the violation remedy have not been successful and the violation remains. Staff has a recommendation in this case to find the respondent guilty of violating code section 3495 as a repeat violator for chapter 16204 of Florida statute in order than to 1. Cut and leave the property, properly removing any junk and debris, and 2. Pay the cost of prosecution in the case as assessed all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day to a maximum of $5,000, and the city to enter upon the property to do the work
was the property brought into compliance the first time? Did the city do the work?
The city went out and did it.
City did.
Yeah, I think we ought to shorten the days down on this one as well.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation, shorten it to 7 days.
I have a recommendation by Ms. Roos to shorten the time from 14 to 7 days. Do I have a second?
A second.
And second from Shirley, Ms. Shirley, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Ms. Terry and Ms. Jeannie very busy in the next 7 days.
Well, it's better than in the next 14, so there you go.
Well, somebody else will be busy cleaning up too, won't they?
Yes, sir. Somebody's important.
Good job.
That'll bring us to page 5 of your agenda this evening, CLIN 14-17-09. The City of Ocala versus Juan Cisneros. We would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. Location is 2409 Northeast 2nd Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weed accumulation of trash and open sidewalk matter. Matter. The parcel ID is 24951-000-00. Legal service was obtained on 11-3-2014 for the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the previous findings of fact and affidavit for compliance in the first case with the city brought for immediate compliance. A summary of findings that Officer Greg McClellan located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed that in 2013, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violation of Code Section 3495, qualified in this case as a repeat violator. Further investigation by Officer McClellan revealed the respondents had not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer McClellan to have the respondent remedy the violation have been unsuccessful in the violation. Staff has a recommendation to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Sections 3495 as a repeat violator per Chapter 16204 of Florida Statutes, Order 021, cutting clean up the property, properly removing any junk and debris, and 2, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed all within 14 days. Failing which, a fine of $500 per day to a maximum of $5,000, and the city to enter upon the property to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Staff is prepared to answer any questions that you may have. We would point out for the record that we do not have representation by the respondent here this evening.
I'd say based on the fact that the most recent pictures don't look that bad, we'll go with the staff recommendation and make that motion.
I have a motion by Mr. Mansell to accept staff recommendation. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Yeah. I have a second by Ms. Roos. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That will bring us to page 6 of your agenda this evening, and that is in the petitions section. That would be CON 13-0033. I would draw your attention to the petition that has been submitted by Branch Banking and Trust Company. They are asking for partial releases of lien, and they are claiming that because the property was foreclosed, they have no responsibility to pay the lien.
Oh.
I just say that the properties are being encumbered by this lien, but they're not the properties the lien applies to.
Correct. Under Florida law, any code enforcement lien cross attaches to any other property owned by the person's. Property. Quite frankly, that is the only leverage that we really have in some cases to get them to take care of the property that's been encumbered that they're trying to get unencumbered currently. So that's the reason why we're at where we're at. I would have to yield to the city attorney for a recommendation as to whether or not the foreclosure foreclosed the city out.
If they foreclosed a lien on another piece of property, that would only foreclose
to that property.
Any lien that attached to that property.
Yes, that's why they're asking for partial releases here.
Right.
And so that was my assumption as well.
Right.
That is a release from this property.
If this is, let's call it secondary property, there's primary property where the violation occurred, lien attached to that property, the lien attached to any other property that that property owner owns in the city, in the county, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're dealing with here. Apparently, they want to now have us release the lien from that property so they can sell it.
Staff would point out that we're certainly not opposed to partial releases. However, we do have almost $1,000 in it.
Well, I think we should at least get the hard costs back, and maybe a little more, just to keep them honest.
I don't know. It's $1,000. I'm not really.
That's the total lien is $1,000.
The total lien is $1,555.36.
So $1,500.
The cost of the city is over a grand.
The cost of the city was $932.73 for the work that was done, and $122.63 in cost of property.
So we're talking about $1,500 here.
They want $500 taken away. They want, I don't know, they want it all taken away?
They weren't very specific in their petition.
I would move to reject it.
Yeah.
I second that.
Yeah, I do too. I have a motion from Ms. Roos to reject.
Decline.
Decline. And a second by Mr. Batzel. All in favor?
Aye.
That will bring us to page 7 of your agenda, CMIN 13-1347, a case involving Officer Dwayne Thomas, the City of Ocala and Branch Banking and Trust Company, a location at 434 Southwest 16th Street.
It's 1374.
1374, did I say?
Same guy.
I apologize.
Same wording.
1374. I apologize to the board. We've been in FEMA's incident commander's class the whole week, and it's been a very long week. This is a similarly situated case with a similarly situated request and a similarly situated partial request of leak, or partial release of leak. In this case, the case cost amounted to involved in the case are $13,000 for the violation fine and $863.58 for the work ordered the city to be completed and $118.32 in cost of prosecution. The city has also provided you with copies of the photographs of the condition of the property.
Has the city had a lot of problems with this financial institution?
No, sir. They generally register the property. I think they acquired this property. That's my experience. Am I correct, Harry? They generally do register the properties with us.
Yes.
I'm assuming that they acquired these properties and then the liens compared to the lien basis.
Looks like the cost of the city is just under $1,000. I don't know. Do $1,000 prosecution and $1,000 fine?
That would work for me.
Yeah, that would work for me too.
I'd make a motion to reduce the fine to $1,000 and all cost and the cost of prosecution to the city.
I have a motion from Jason to reduce the fine to $1,000.
It'd be $2,000 total.
Well, it would be approximately.
Approximately $2,000.
Yeah.
And what was that?
It was $1,000 fine and then the cost of prosecution and the cost to the city.
So
approximately $2,000. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Ms. Roos. All in favor?
Aye.
So we're reducing the fine to $1,000
plus cost. Plus cost.
The $863 and the $118.
Which is roughly around $2,000. Got it. Do we have a second on that?
I seconded it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
You're looking at me like I was supposed to say something.
No, I was going, what did we forget here? What did we forget here?
That'll bring us to petition CON 140015, City of Ocala, Officer Jason Pelgrace versus Ocala National Bank Building Condo Association, a location at 108 North Magnolia Avenue. The city would move to accept this petition and reduce the fine to zero. They pay
Make a motion to accept staff recommendations on that one.
Have a motion by Ms. Roots to accept staff recommendation.
I'd also like to get on the record, if you don't mind, if I may interrupt, that the city does not agree with their assessment as stated in their petition.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Have a second by Ms. Shirley. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
That'll bring us to old business and the consent agenda for non-compliance. Staff would respectfully represent to you that we have an affidavit of non-compliance in all the cases listed on the consent agenda and respectfully request a motion to accept the non-compliance and proceed with previous board orders.
I make that motion.
Motion by Ms. Roots. Second.
Second.
Second by Jason. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Having said that, staff will respectfully request a motion to accept all testimony and presentations into the record.
I'd move to do that.
Second.
Ms. Roots moved to accept. Second was by Mr. Batzel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Having said that, staff would certainly like to welcome our new member.
Yes.
And thank you to the board very much for your diligent work throughout the last year. Have a happy holiday season, and we'll see you next year.
Okay. Meeting adjourned.